December 23rd, 1973.
Yes, now what may I say? How extremely delightful it is to enter into the vibration of body and earth and prove that Bertrand Russell still exists as an energy in outer force, much to the disgust and chagrin of those that I left behind that picked my carcass with their words of distaste and derogatory statements, that they feel now that I may be in the 6x6 of terra firma. But may I assure you, I am much alive, more vibrant, and have much to say now that I have traveled and pierced this veil of negativity of mankind and watched the flame of humanity slowly flicker and die through his own terrible ignorance. I have been persuaded by Mr. Clemens to enter this condition, which I indeed find delightful, and perhaps I should extend my apology if I do not quite handle the body as I should handle it, but be aware I have yet to learn a few of the mechanics that Mr. Cole insists that I learn, so that in due course I shall be giving you various communications so that we may try to enlighten the world or forget its existence entirely in the solar regions of heaven or hell, whichever you may choose.
Well,
I understand you're Mr. Hopgood.
Yes, that's right.
And you live in the United States.
Yes.
Which is not something to be duly proud of at the present stage of its existence.
I know.
However, my endeavor in coming is to serve you in your book, in your wanting to give a greater depth of understanding to mankind. So let's be on with it, and you may interrogate me with your high intellectual state.
Well, thank you indeed, Mr. Russell. I hope it wasn't too difficult for you to come in.
No, but get to the point.
All right.
Business is business.
Good. I have some questions. A good friend of mine, Dr. Leo Roberts, down at Harvard, has sent me some questions, which he himself has been very deep in philosophy. And I asked him to ask for some questions that might help to throw light on certain things for us. And one of his questions is, what status do you assign to consciousness in your thinking, in your philosophy?
Well, I have been to see Dr. Roberts. Of course, I knew him when in the body. And I find that I, too, in entering into these various vibrational forces, have found myself changing my whole format of ideas that I expressed on Earth. And, of course, I related to family and friends in most intimate ways, which I do not care to discuss, that conditioned me to various conditionings of Earth, that is, in the light theory of relativity, which I find the plausible excuse to the full existence of all beings. As to answer your question, consciousness is only a word denoting true feeling from the energy of man and is not to be confused as a self-embodiment of some amoeba floating in the body and thus designating a target that interrelates with the semi-conscious state of mind or brain, rather I should say. And it is inadequate in its approach to the true spiritual conditioning of man.
Oh. Well, would you describe yourself as a materialist in philosophical thought or method?
No, I was not a materialist. I was more in the thought of Mr. Moore, who expressed idealism of life, which I found inadequate to express in the full form of my endeavor to see this creativity, God, deity, or whatever one chooses to call it. I have seen that in the idealistic approach that all objects, such as the pear or the orange, apple, have certain circumference and identities that man can relate to, but only as an object of his reaction in his illusion of living. And I find now this to be true. But then I find again, looking deeper within the core of that choice fruit, that the nucleus of that fruit is the atom expressed in all the creative endeavor of mankind. Here is the nucleus, the fullness, the tapping in, as one would say, to the full creativeness of man. For here it started in the dark, approached the light, grew, and then when pared away, there again shows that all the birth sequence, whether it's spiritual or material, started in the very core of that creative germ.
When you spoke of Mr. Moore, did you mean Sir Thomas Moore?
George Moore, I knew him.
Oh, George.
Very well.
I see.
I followed his ideals for a time, but then ventured away because I found his thoughts too inadequate to express what I wanted to say.
I see.
Perhaps those would say, most of my friends would say, I was a pacifist, which I will entirely agree with. And of course, I guess my history speaks for itself, and I'll not dwell into my past.
I see. Well, do you hold with the present day concern with linguistics in philosophy?
How are you interpreting linguistics?
I assume that this is Dr. Roberts' question, and has to do with fine points of logic or thought in philosophy.
No, I do not agree with the linguist approach, nor the idea that the scientific approach is the proper attitude to find the total balance of full life expression. I find more in the scientific approach, the same as I find in your sympathies, that science does not approach the full feeling of mankind, which must be expressed in all things in feeling, the most important sense of all of the five senses. But to be technical, to be linguistic, to be logical or idealist in our approach to life defeats the principles under which life itself operates and exists.
Would you explain why you could see no point in Wittgenstein's philosophy?
For I do not find a sincere approach to the questions or the mysteries of life. I rather find someone more in an egotistical vein of thought and not giving a full meaning to the fullness or the expression of life that is needed. And I use expression of life in my terminology, for it is through the feeling of life that the expression of your being as material and spiritual together give you the means and the motivation to continue life after life, and this is true in life after life, to your ultimate balance of life. And this does not include one solar system, but six others that operate in the infinity.
I see. Do you think the political work which you were engaged on at the end of your life has more importance than the philosophical and mathematical work that you did earlier?
I find it served a purpose at the present time of the universe. I speak of material time.
Yes.
And I find that it now does not serve the restlessness of mankind, for I did not approach the nucleus of the apple in a very sure and full way. However, I found much defeat, finding myself a nonconformist in a world of conformity, and also finding that I had entered a new body before my rightful time, which seems to be the inexcusable favor of everyone today.
You had entered a new body before your rightful time?
When I was Mr. Russell.
Oh.
I should not have taken that body. It only led to many things that I said in a defeat, for I find myself ahead of the time, for instance, in the United States, where I was so terribly abused.
Yes.
In New York State, for those that refuse to see that sexuality is a personal and private issue and it should not be a strong law with the states.
I see. Well, you began a long philosophical career with a search for certainty and wound up where?
With uncertainty, I assure you.
I see. Now, I've been very much concerned with the ideas of panpsychism as presented by people like Fechner and Royce, Whitehead, and James to some extent. Is this, in your opinion now, or what is your opinion of this panpsychist approach to the universe?
It's a healthy approach, but another pathway along the way. But it does not go in depth. And I find all of these various denominations and rituals and practices of today are true pathways to the ultimate gain or the omega of all things. But again, I find them taking detours, circuitous routes that do not leave them in a peaceful solution. For I certainly would not be bothered talking to you, nor to anyone, nor entering into all of this garbage of earth, if I didn't feel that what you had strikes the core of all life, and ultimately, through your efforts, shall be seen by a great deal of many people.
I see. Well, now, this panpsychism was, of course, the philosophy that everything was alive, down to and including all matter, that every atom was alive, that life, consciousness, sensitivity inheres in all the entire creation. And I was wondering, for example, this would mean that an atom, that is a physical atom, like a hydrogen atom, would be conscious. Now, from where you are, can you see that whether this is so, that a hydrogen atom or any other physical atom has a consciousness?
Absolutely. For without the life of all of these hydrogen atoms, or simple atoms, or extraneous atoms, there would not be what you term as life, or the elixir of energy. It has always been, always will be.
What would you say was the force that holds the electrons and other subatomic particles together in the structure of the atom?
That would require quite a dialogue in very technical terms to give your scientists an understanding. But to approach your layman in the simplest form, who believes in the flaccid demonstration of prayer without the right approach, all things of life have an adhesion through their constant cycle of full energy force reacted upon by magnetism of the earth, the stars in your solar system, your sun. And it is the action and interreactions of all energies, whether related on one vibration or another, cause the adhesion that has all things come together in a nucleus that is simplicity itself. And man can tap the greatest reservoir of all this creativity, simply by opening into more depth the realization that he is spirit, and denounce the constant practice
we must have proof.
Yes. Now, this man...
Does the flower need proof to grow, or the tree, or the dust of the earth? It knows where it will fall before it falls.
Yes.
For all things are fixed in laws that you have been given, which I fully agree with. But I find that humanity wanting proof upon proof, when there is no proof until there is revelation of the individual.
I see.
Take your own case, for example.
Yes. Yes, I see. Well, now, in regard to a philosopher like William James or Alfred North Whitehead, would you say that the limitations of their... what would you say were the limitations, the things which limited them from making greater achievements?
Because there cannot be a fullness of life until one realizes that spiritual life, and I speak of spiritual as energy, understand?
Yes.
Is all predestined. But the material life is not predestined, for each has free will to express in a fullness of self.
Yes.
However, it is the fullness of predestined spiritual energy that constantly evolves or recycles in life after life to reach the ultimate perfection. That perfection is to be oneness with all of the atoms you are talking about, and thus be able to immerse one's self into all atoms and be one with all the harmony of the solar systems and the infinitude that stretches beyond the feeble imagination.
Oh, well, would you say with Mr. Burr, for example, that a magnetic field is a living entity?
I entirely agree, but it is not the only entity, for it takes millions of entities to make possible the fullness of creative energy.
Oh, well, I mean, now, for example, I'm an entity. Now, is a magnetic field an entity in the same sense?
There's a magnetic field around every atom coursing your veins at the present moment.
Yes. And does that magnetic field involve consciousness?
It involves the consciousness of creative force, not the consciousness by man separating the brain in two halves and saying one side is sub and one side is consciousness.
Yeah.
For man's only consciousness is his being as a physical organism of earth, but is subconscious. The underneath condition is the spiritual energy that he constantly tries to tap. However, once he has opened this full field of energy to his spiritual seeing ability, not mortal seeing, then he is in complete harmony with all existence.
Well, I see. Now, what I'm trying, one thing here I'd like to get clear about is, if a magnet, if electromagnetism is the same thing as life, is a form of actual life, having consciousness and will, I would like to know what a magnet, for example, actually feels in attracting the iron filings. Let's say that when a magnet attracts the iron filings, is this an act of will on the part of the magnet, and is the action of the filings also an act of will on their part?
Well, is it in your belief to believe in the law of cause and effect?
Yes.
Do you believe in the law of attraction?
Well, now, that's what I don't understand, is what causes the attraction. Is the attraction a matter of will?
No, it's a simple matter. If the vibrational forces are on equal balance, they will attract one another. But you notice a magnet will not attract any condition or alloy known as nickel or aluminum.
No, true.
It will not do it because the balance or frequency of that vibration is in not direct balance to the opposite polarity of the atom, thus causing a insignificant amount of attraction to bring the forces together. You find it in your everyday life of persons you meet that you are highly attracted to chemically.
Yes.
Spiritually.
Yes.
And yet, the attraction is, over the millions of years, mark you, I said millions of Earth years, that your atoms have been constantly changing and interchanging or interrelating with each other in order to bring you together in the perfection of balance.
Oh, well, then it's a question of harmonic, balance, between.
Isn't all life harmonics?
Yes. Well, that is not quite the same thing, then, as to say consciousness, because that the iron, for example, the magnet, does not think in the sense that we think of thinking.
It is and has its being as vital force, but it is only through the balance of full attraction in energy that opposite forces come together in union.
I see. Well, now take another question relating to this. In the snowflake. The snowflake is supposed to be an inanimate thing. Yet they have these magnificent, beautiful patterns individualized. So every snowflake has its own individual complex pattern. Now, is this pattern an expression of life?
Certainly it is an expression of life. And it has its aura, its beginning as rain or water. And it's through the condensation of heat and cold, another attraction that causes the snowflake, in its delightful pursuit to Earth, formulates what it would like to be and display to an unseeing world. That is the whole process of nature, to have the unseeing eye see the beauty that can be wrought in the snowflake or in the little acorn.
In other words, the snowflake then is an effort of expression, an act of expression on the part of the drop.
It's a circular atom of being, energy.
I see. Well, by atom here, you mean a spiritual entity.
That is correct.
I see. Because the word atom is a hard word for us to understand. And now, we come to the question of the cells of the body, of which we have so many billions, and they are said to be alive, sensitive, and have thought, and know about their tasks, and so forth, so that this has been what we've been told. And I wonder if you could enter into it, could tell us just exactly what does a cell actually think about? What does a cell feel about the environment in which it lives?
It lives in constant harmony, balance, and the delight of all creation. However, the distortion of men's thinking distorts those cells, causes the diseases that you all are subject to on Earth today. A cell delights in its course in the body, though it is short-lived because each is constantly recycling every second of your existence. But each, if it in harmony, can display a full, complete body that can last for 200, 300, 400, 500 Earth years if mankind would solve his problem of harmony and balance within his spiritual self. Notice I did not say brain. I said spiritual self, and thus live in a common attraction with all creation, and then he would find himself the fullness of what you term as perfection.
Well, then the cell then is a cell conscious of me as the entity in which he. Does it have merely a consciousness of a universal part?
It has continuity with you as energy. And that is what sustains you in your body or in your vertical position. But you distort or destroy those cells of perfection and harmony by your limitations and by all the scientific approach to the immortality of all things, whether they are animate or inanimate. This has been all discussed before in your, as I see in your spirit, and you have an understanding of these conditions. But it is to become and realize that you as energy, using the brain, the vast computer of your little earth universe, to be able to open to all of those cells and command them in any way to heal any part of your body or to give you a full visionary force into outside dimensional forces. And this is what humanity lacks by not realizing that cells are constantly urging clairvoyance to the mortal eye and the spiritual eye. But man refutes it in his fears or his feeling that life is a mystery when it is not. It is simplicity of beauty related to all creative endeavor. It has its merits. And I see now, since my stay in the dimensions, or as you say, in the world, in this outer world, that life is progressing to a fulfillment of progression according to your Vishnu laws. And mankind in the present day is going to do it whether he wants to or not. And it is his choice whether he makes it in an easy way or takes the difficult pathway. Right now, you take the most difficult path, and you'll find it will lead to much more negativity in your world before it is finally resolved. And I can say the year 2010 will show you in a new spiritual total realization of life. And I leave out your words of renaissance or rebirth.
I see. Well, now, coming back to again to the cell, where do these the billions of cells that are created every day in the body, and how, where does the energy come, or where, what is the creative force from which? How do these cells come into existence?
How did you come into existence?
Well,
it took you a little longer, perhaps.
Yeah.
But it required intercourse and conception to give you birth, did it not?
Oh, yes.
This is the same with cells. They each are an opposite, mingled together, and from them comes the offspring to keep the body moving with fresh cells.
Yes, they
same idea as your material existence. So why complicate? Only it's done in a more accelerated way. It is taking place every tenth of a second.
Well, now, with the consciousness, but the individual cells, do they possess consciousness or individuality in the sense that we think, an entity or a spirit?
No, they possess a constant freedom of balance.
Oh, I see.
And if you learn to live with that freedom of balance, then you have perfection of life. Well, I'll go up where the atmosphere is much lighter, but I do reluctantly say I shall come in often.
I hope so.
And see if we can't nudge a few more people into the total reality of what life is all about.